Hey, this is Big Papa Pump Scott's Diner.
Yes, yes, it is me, Gerald the Poopé.
Hey, this is Joe Gatto. And
this is Eric Young.
Well, hello there. It's me, Harold the Puppet.
This is Johnny Wrestling, Johnny Gargano, and you are listening to Shootin' Poop.
Shootin' Poop.
The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network. Found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, bit of an old school feel tonight. Just the two of us.
You and I.
You and I. Man, this feels like the old days when it was a three-person show and one of us wasn't here. But tonight we have the rare occasion where two out of four aren't here. So you're left with a tag team of shooting shit tonight. Episode 94 is going to be fun. The tag team duo of trouble.
Wrong way. There you go.
Dennis, let's start it off. We got a good hour to cover. A lot of stuff to get to.
Let's go.
Try shooting shit. You know, I remember back when you used to do like your funny little quips before the movies, before the video played.
You know, and I'm definitely going to bring this back, but man, and I'm going to talk a little bit about this more and when we do final thoughts and stuff, but it's just been a crazy last few weeks and stuff. It just seems like, you know, it just ain't life just ain't going. It keeps going and it ain't stopping and that. And it's just, I got to get back into the swing of things with that, but man, it's just, it's a lot's been going on and stuff, you know, and it's just, the quips will make their way back when I'm ready to.
All right. Not bad at all. So down to the dangerous duo tonight, you and I,
just the two of us
building those castles in the sky. Anyway, what are we going to hit first, man? We've got an hour to cover with a good amount of things that we want to talk about. So where are we going to go first?
You know what? Let's go with what we seem to have been doing the last couple of weeks, and let's do our question of the week.
Hit it.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time. Shootin' Shit proudly presents the Stirrin' Shit Facebook question of the week.
So it was actually your week.
It was, and this is kind of plays into everything and stuff. And it just seems like the last few weeks, things have been a little bit more serious, just life in general and that. And I kind of wanted to, you know, fun things up. So my question of the week was, what is the funniest moment you've seen and ever seen in pro wrestling or something that was just really funny? And this one, actually, we got a lot of conversation. And actually, and this blew my mind because I think I messaged you right away when I saw. But Mrs. Five Star Trivia Machine actually responded to this one. So for a first time ever, my wife, Crystal, actually is going to get a shout out on this show.
So long time listener, first time caller.
I don't even know if she's necessarily a long time listener. She, you know, and stuff. But I was shocked that she actually replied to this. And like I said, she don't watch wrestling much, but like, you know, the only reason, most of the time, the only reason why she watches is because I have it on and stuff. But there are a couple things that she mentioned, and these were actually a couple really good ones, and they both actually involve Vicky Guerrero.
Oh, Lord.
So the first one was back when Vicky Guerrero, I believe it was actually one of her last day as like a full-time member of the roster, when she got fired as the GM and she pushed Stephanie into that mud pit or whatever.
Yes.
That was one that she absolutely loves. And then the other one is when The Rock had that concert and he sang to Vicky Guerrero. And it was, he did that, you know, he did the play off of Eric Clapton's You Look Wonderful Tonight. When he goes, "You look horrible tonight.
You look horrible tonight."
My wife, every time that gets mentioned or something, my wife absolutely loses it and cracks up. And I mean, that is some good stuff. And it just really went to speak about just how good Vicky Guerrero was as a performer.
Yeah.
And then we had some other ones too. Jonathan Phillips wrote, Brent mentioned anything involving Booker T and Goldust. Michael Hayne, my cousin Jerry's brother, he wrote the Shockmaster reveal.
The break through the wall.
Yep. Our buddy Jordan wrote tons of stuff from DDT, which there is some funny stuff in there.
Omega versus the Kid is a great one. The little girl.
Yeah, and then the doll as well, too.
The doll as well, yes.
Yeah. My old middle school and high school buddy, Dan Lawrence, mentioned a GIF with Titus O'Neil, but it wasn't the world slide botch from the Greatest Royal Rumble. It was actually the one he did when he came out for the Royal Rumble that following year, when basically he ran to the ring, and then as he got to the ring, he put on the brakes just so the same thing wouldn't happen.
Nice.
We had Jerry Hayne wrote about Kurt Angle and the little cowboy hat, which is good stuff. Michael Fox had a gif of Vince McMahon with the do-rag as the ECW world champion.
I love do-rag Vince.
And then I think one of the best ones, and I mean, we got Shane mentioning Kevin Owens blowing a gasket and his anger issues as of late. My buddy Bob wrote Chavo Guerrero with Pepe the Stick Horse. And then our boy Isaac Gresser, also from SGS, Ric Flair versus Jay Lethal in the Woo Off. That was gold.
100% organic, not scripted. It just happened.
And it was beautiful.
It was amazing.
So for me, and I was actually kind of trying to think of something, and I just was scrolling through Facebook actually after I got home from work earlier this evening. I was eating dinner, and I was just kind of, you know, was watching SmackDown. I was flipping through my phone, and I come across a video, and I thought, oh my God, this is it. This was from, I believe it was I can't remember if it was a Raw or a SmackDown. It's back in 2002. It was like about a week or so after the original draft. It was the NWO. They were getting ready to go. It was X-Pac, Scott Hall, and Kevin Nash going up against The Rock, Kane, and Stone Cold Steve Austin in the six-man match. And right before the match, it was The Rock, Hogan, and Kane, excuse me, not Stone Cold. And there was a promo in the back in the locker room with The Rock, Kane, and Hogan, and The Rock's like, "Are you ready?" You know, and then I'm like, when I saw this live, I'm like, oh my God. Like, he just went into that promo where basically he channeled The Rock. He goes to ask The Rock, "Are you ready?" And The Rock goes to talk, and the King goes, "It doesn't matter." And then he goes into Hogan, you know, Hogan mode, and cuts a Hogan-type promo, and he talks about the Hulkamaniacs and The Rock fans and then the Canaanites. And then just what sold me on that was The Rock just standing there, and he mouths it out. He goes, you know, like he just mouthed it out. And it was really cool because that was like one of the first times you really got to see a more humanized side of Kane. And it's like, this guy is actually really talented, you know, and stuff. So for me, that was my moment. It was just that Kane promo in the locker room on an episode. I think it was either Raw or SmackDown.
Dude, Kane, that was like the best Kane promo of all time. Yep,
absolutely. What about you, Hot One?
it is no secret to everybody out there that I'm a big Rock fan. So my funniest moments, it's going to be a Rock promo. Going back to Monday Night Raw's War in the 2000s. I think it's, hold on, I got to put up. January 17th of 2000, Monday Night Raw is War. The one where Rock is doing all the impressions of Stone Cold, Triple H, but it ends up with him really digging into the Big Show. And the one that makes this one iconic for me is just... Dude, I could watch that on a loop and just laugh every single time. Yeah, no, it's greatness.
You know, for me, you mentioned Rocky, just another one that I always think fondly of was that Monday Night Raw. It was later on that year in 2000, right before Armageddon and that six-way Hell in the Cell match where he did the promo and he basically, like, was everybody. He did, you know, he did Stone Cold, he did Triple H, he did Kurt Angle, he did Rikishi. He called him a thong-wearing fatty.
The one where he did, I did it for The Rock.
Yeah, and then The Undertaker, where he rolled his eye back and he goes, die.
Yeah,
that was another, that's another one that's in the clubhouse.
Those were great. I mean, Steiner Math gets me every single time.
Yeah.
Because you've got a 33% chance, but considering that...
33 and a third.
33 and a third percent chance. Dude, that's a great one. Let's see, what other good ones? Like, just promos that I can listen to that just makes me laugh.
You know, I mean, there's just so much out there, and you know, and I'm trying to think of just some other really funny stuff.
You know what? Just like not promo wise, I thoroughly enjoyed and laughed my ass off at Johnny Knoxville and Sami Zayn.
Yes, you know that match. While it was never gonna be Flair versus Steamboat, but god damn, that match was so much fun. That's probably the most fun I've ever had watching a wrestling match.
Yeah, that's easily the most fun I've had watching a match. That it was an actual match.
Yeah, and if you ever listen to Sami Zayn, he is so proud of that match, and it's you know, it's great to see him embrace that, you know.
Right.
But yeah, that's another good one and stuff. But man, there's just so much funny stuff. I mean, you got This Is Your Life, Rock.
This Is Your Life was great.
You got all the stuff with DX back in, you know, the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
Well, hell, even DX back in like the 2000s. I mean, that one, and I know it seems like I see it all over Facebook all the time, is where Shawn Michaels in the back and he starts super kicking everybody.
Yes.
And stuff. Shit. So, I mean, there's just so much funny stuff.
It leads into Goldust and Booker T. But leading into that, you have Booker T with Goldust with the Tourette's after getting electrocuted.
Yeah.
I love that. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
You know, you know, another funny moment. Remember, was 2004 when Eugene was left in charge of the show and they played musical chairs to start Raw?
Yes.
That was good, too. Dude,
shout out to Eugene, because I thoroughly enjoyed the character of Eugene. I don't think it would fly nowadays.
It would absolutely would not.
But to think of it, you've got a wrestler who, I guess just based on how he's feeling that day, is wrestling like some of the greatest of all time. And he was great. I thoroughly enjoyed Eugene.
If I'm not mistaken, wasn't like some of the groups and stuff that, you know, that you, I don't want to, I'm trying to be delicate because I don't want to word this wrong and stuff, but like, you know, the groups that are, you know, like the Special Olympics and stuff, weren't they actually complimentary of the Eugene character, if I'm not mistaken?
I think a lot of them were, because he didn't necessarily take it as a making fun of type of deal.
Yeah, okay, yeah, it just, It's just, yeah, but absolutely, the character would not fly today. But doesn't he still use that on the indies sometimes?
He uses a variation. It's not a 100% Eugene. It's a little bit more nowadays, ooh, Eugene.
Gotcha. Okay. So what'd you think of Money in the Bank?
I've never had so much mixed emotions about a pay-per-view or a premium live event.
All right.
The match of the night, man. I'm just gonna go ahead and shoot it. It was the women's ladder match, which I think now is year after
really?
Year. I feel like the women have surpassed the men in the ladder match. Last year they had the better ladder match, in my opinion. This year they had the better ladder match. I definitely love the choice for Io Sky.
Called it, by the way.
You did. And the way that she did it, climbing over Bailey, was awesome. You know, having her handcuffed,
yeah,
to
with the whole hand
climbed over.
Yeah.
But the men's, it's just the fans were so rabid for LA Knight, and they want that really bad. And it doesn't seem like they're pulling the trigger on him yet, which is crazy. Because I think I just saw he's top four in merch sales. He's over as over can get.
Yeah.
And he lost.
You know, it's just kind of, you just wonder. And like, I know Triple H said during the media scrum afterwards is that, you know, his story isn't finished and stuff, you know, but it's just, it's like they've got someone ready to go, like that the people are behind and stuff. And it's like, he's clearly getting over and stuff. And it was kind of disappointing to watch SmackDown. Cause like I said, SmackDown just got over with a couple hours ago as we're recording, you know, very before we started recording this, and he wasn't even on the show.
Yeah. I don't believe Triple H is crock of crap now, dude, because that's the same thing he said about Cody when Cody lost to Roman. He said that his story's not over yet, but his story went straight to Brock Lesnar and a bunch of matches that nobody cares of, and why the hell is he going against Dom? And
right.
It's a weird way to get there. I don't want to see the same thing happen at LA Knight.
Yeah. So before we get back again to the Money in the Bank talk, I went together a little special video that I just uploaded and I'm going to play here that kind of recaps. Let's see. It's going to let our shooters know how we all did with our predictions last week. So enjoy. Jesus.
I love all of LA Knight, dude. All the way, LA Knight.
Yeah. So for the men, I'm going doubling down with Sean, LA Knight.
Dude, if LA Knight doesn't win, the fucking building needs to riot over there.
LA Knight.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Becky.
For the women, I'm going straight Dark Horse, Zelina Vega.
For the ladies, I'm going the real Dark Horse here, right? Give me Zoe Stark.
And for the women, I'm actually going Io Sky.
Sean picks he doesn't give a fuck on the Civil War. Yeah, I think we're gonna see a debuting member of the Bloodline to help Roman solidify his tribal chief status.
I think the Usos win and get the upset.
I don't fucking know, man. Probably the Usos, because what's the point of fucking having them break off and then 2 weeks later they lose to fucking Roman and Solo. Yeah. And then what? They got to keep the storyline going. So.
Yeah, that wasn't painful.
God, I had so much fun putting that together.
Well, yeah, because you were on the right end of it twice, not like me over here. It was a horrible week.
Yeah, you know what? Even great minds goof up once in a while.
It's just hard to predict WWE's booking, I guess.
But you know what, though? In a sense, that's actually a pretty good thing sometimes when you can't predict what's going to happen.
Well, I went with the deep dark horse and Zoe Stark just because I thought, you know, why not? But I did not see the Usos winning. So that was a good surprise, especially the way it went down.
Yeah. And like I said, if you, I won't say too much more about what happened on SmackDown because, you know, by the time this goes up, you know, who knows if all our shooters are going to watch it. And I don't want to spoil it for them. But man, watch SmackDown, if anything, just for the Bloodline stuff because. The story is far from over.
Nice.
And that's so going back to your point about the women's Money in the Bank ladder matches, you know, kind of surpassing the men. I'm actually going to agree, at least with this year. I'd have to go back and kind of rewatch some of the others to see. But for this year, no, I wholeheartedly agree. I think the women's Money in the Bank ladder match was better than the men's. And I actually don't hate the fact that Damian Priest won. Like, I actually, if it wasn't going to be LA Knight, I'm glad it was Priest and stuff. But I mean, yeah, but that just that ending, though, that was just with Io Sky handcuffing Bayley and Becky together. And that was just so good.
Yeah, that was a hell of a story they told in that match.
Right. And that. So, but, I mean, even that, though, but I mean, the other stuff, yeah, Riddle versus Gunter, I thought was really good.
It was quicker than what I anticipated it would have been, but it was almost like straight gas, just foot on the pedal to the metal, and they burned through what felt like a 10-minute match.
And then what else did we have? We had the Money in the Bank ladder matches, it's the Bloodline Civil War. They had Gunther versus Riddle.
That was it.
Yeah, there was the ladder matches and the Civil War. Like the Civil War was my favorite match of the night because there was just so much drama and just so much amazing storytelling and just throwback to the where this whole Bloodline story began and everything and stuff, and it's just that was my favorite match of the night.
All right, good stuff. So, transitioning out of the WWE, let's hit something else real quick. Shift a gear on this one.
Shift and away.
Something that you're probably not ready for because we didn't discuss this, but a lot of things happening at NJPW and AEW and ROH because of a surprise win. Eddie Kingston winning the strong version of the open.
The New Japan Strong Open, never open weight title. Something like that. Yeah.
So Eddie Kingston wins the never open strong title from New Japan. And with that, he gave up his number one contender status to the ROH title to Mark Briscoe.
You know, first off, if you're not a fan of Eddie Kingston, you're not going to who you should. If you're not a fan of Eddie Kingston, we're not going to tell you who you shouldn't root for. But if you're not a fan of him, go watch the promo he cut after he won that championship, and if you. And why I can watch that and, you know, and not root for this guy. I'm sorry, but there's something wrong with you because that's about as real as it gets. Like, you know, when it comes to, I mean, that promo, like it's just, he does stuff like that and just how he is with the fans. I mean, how he was with the Silver Wolf and I when we both met him when at the fan fest and stuff. How can you not root for this guy?
Right. No, I mean, he's paid all of his dues. He's truly somebody who just unfortunately didn't have the look that the companies want, man. He's a hell of a wrestler. He loves the fucking sport to death. The guy is a true Japanese wrestling fan, a true student of the art. And for him to say, you know, this is something that I've been wanting to cross off my list since I was 13 years old.
Yeah. And he talks about how New Japan basically, you know, saved his life almost and just growing up. And I think I've said this before, and this might be some people might, you know, consider this a little bit of a controversy. I want to bring back our old little hot take here, but real old school tonight. I mean, we might as well. I mean, it's just you and I and stuff. To me, Eddie Kingston is this generation's Dusty Rhodes.
Yeah. I like it.
And that's so because, and it's just because he's as real as real gets when it comes to pro wrestling.
Yeah. He's the everyman. It's like Dusty. Dusty was the everyman. He was the common guy.
Yeah.
And that's Eddie Kingston.
Yeah. And going to what you talked about, giving up his number one contendership status, I think that might have been more. I mean, I'm sure, you know, obviously, depending on how this works out and stuff, but I know with him being also in the G1, I know that played a, excuse me, a part in this all happening as well, too.
Yes.
And I want to ask you a question. Do you feel like enough time has lapsed with since Jay passed away earlier this year to where the majority of the fans aren't going to think that, oh, he's just getting this because of what happened to his brother?
I hope so, because I truly, truly do not want Claudio holding the ROH heavyweight belt for any much longer. Nothing against Claudio, but to me, the last name Briscoe is so synonymous with that brand and that company. Mm-hmm. And Mark has never held that title. Jay held it twice. Mark has never held it. To finally win the big one, I want him to get all of his flowers. I don't want people to have a doubt in their mind that, you know what, Mark got this because of what happened to Jay. I want him to be able to enjoy that moment.
Yeah. And I also think, too, he's really, since, you know, that since Warner has allowed him to be, you know, on AEW TV, he's really made the most of the opportunities he's been given in the wake of his brother's passing. And
yeah, and fans love him. The fans love Mark.
Yeah.
Because he's so out there.
Again, he's of that Eddie Kingston type where he's just, he's real, like,
yeah.
And stuff, you know, and I mean, I love Claudio. You know how big of a fan I am of the Blackpool Combat Club, and
I do.
I mean, I got my group. I got my pictures with all four members of the group, you know, hanging above where I do my recording now and stuff, and that. But I mean, I would love to just see, because I think this would be the ultimate feel good moment for, you know, for Ring of Honor, and they really, I feel like they need something like this, because I still feel like not enough people are watching Ring of Honor, and this might be, you know, this might start be one of those things that might bring maybe some of the hardcore Ring of Honor fans back that, you know, may have gone astray since, you know, Tony Khan put, you know, said that he was going to put, you know, Ring of Honor TV on the Honor Club service.
Since the belt left Gresham, no true Ring of Honor wrestler, and I mean true Ring of Honor person, has held that belt. And it's been a long time. We're talking about almost 2 years now.
Yeah, it was about a year and a half or something like that, because I know Gresham lost it to Claudio not long after Claudio debuted at last year's Forbidden Door.
Yep.
And stuff.
But,
so.
But no, even then, the belt was with Jericho.
Yeah, he had it with Jericho, and then, but yeah, you're right. Like Gresham, and you can't really say Claudio because he spent so much time. And again, not a slight on him. But, you know, he had all that time in the WWE. I mean, he was an old school ROH guy, but I mean, he's not, yeah. He's not, like you said, he's not like a Jonathan Gresham or like a Mark Briscoe, who basically.
Mark Briscoe.
Yeah.
Or even, you know what, to put it on there, CM Punk too can throw his name in that hat, because a lot of people still consider CM Punk an ROH guy.
Yeah, that's true. But I mean, if you're going to say that about, if you're going to consider Punk, and this might be me playing devil's advocate or whatever, but if you're going to consider Punk still an ROH guy, you got to kind of consider Claudio an ROH guy, because technically Punk has been away from Ring of Honor a lot longer than Claudio was, because Punk debuted, or I think left, it was like 2005, I believe, like, you know,
2005, yeah.
Yeah, and then Claudio was like, I think like 2011, 2012 or something like that. So to me, I mean, if your people are, if hardcore Ring of Honor fans are still going to consider Punk an ROH guy, I think they have to consider, you know, not saying that they don't, because I mean, I don't know for sure, but if you're going to, if people are going to say that Punk is an ROH guy, you got to consider Claudio an ROH guy in that respect then.
This is a good question to have with Joey K on. We'll have to ask him next week.
Well, I'm kind of hoping that he, you know, gets, he gets, you know, he shows up and stuff, so we could ask him today, you know, which, by the way, if he shows up, he will be on the show. And wait, what did we say? He's stuck in traffic or something like that?
He was doing something, man. I think he got stuck in traffic. Sean is taking a personal day.
You want to, I'm a quick little diversion here. You want to talk about stuck in traffic? So the other day, 4th of July, great day, by the way. You know, I had an awesome day with Mrs. Five Star Trivia Machine and the little one.
Nice.
And so we go, you know, go see a parade, go out to lunch. We hit up a water park, and then the water aquatic center that we went to. Also, they had basically right by, they had like a festival going on and stuff, which they do in a couple towns over from where I live every 4th of July. So, you know, we went to check that out, and we ended up watching the fireworks there. After the fireworks were over, we spent, I want to say, at least 45 minutes stuck in the parking lot trying to get out, because there is and stuff. So. We spent about three times as much time sitting in the parking lot than it took to actually get home once we got out of the parking lot.
Damn.
So once the local police force finally decided to get off their butts and start directing traffic into the parking lot stuff, we started moving. So
shots.
Yeah, but it was still a great 4th of July. How was your 4th of July, by the way?
It was very low-key, man. For those of y'all out there who know, I've started a new position with my company. So I was very hesitant to really turn up for 4th of July. I didn't want to be hungover in the office, so I kind of was just like, I need to maybe see family a little bit. But then come back home, shut down the blinds, keep the sun out, stay cool. Stay hydrated.
Absolutely.
And just, you know, make sure I'm ready for work, because, like I said, even though this was my first week doing my new job function, man, I was previously a manager, supervisor for this company. Mm-hmm. So when you were previously in management, you get stuck in that routine of, if I'm not doing something, I'm not working.
Right.
And I might have rushed some of my training, but like, I was desperate to get in there and start putting hands on things. So as soon as I started getting,
now when you say hands on things, you're talking about like your computer and stuff, right?
Yeah. The computer accounts, all that stuff.
Just wanted to clarify.
Yes. So, you know, I started getting system accesses, and once that's happened, like, I was like, what's the easiest fucking task I can do to help you guys while I'm in training? And that's what I did. I started knocking them out, and everyone's like, wow, that's really cool. You're really, like, making a difference already. I'm like, well, trying to help you guys while I'm learning, so do the best I can.
Remember we were talking Bloodline Civil War earlier. Remember making a difference, Fatu?
That's true.
Yep.
I need that shirt. Make a different spot too. You talked about the little one just now, man. Your little man. Do you want to know some breaking news?
Breaking news, man. Always.
Breaking news from the Tay and Sammy Guevara camp.
Oh?
We have a gender reveal.
Oh, you know what? I think I did hear something about this, possibly.
It is a girl.
Man, that's awesome. And I this kind of, and I was actually just thinking about this like the other day. It's so weird that like when Sammy and Tay announced that they were together, how like that both turned them heel. Cause like at the time they were both like baby faces.
Yeah. They were teetering on faces.
And then, you know, then this happens and it's like, okay, so they get together, they're heels. But when they announce they're having a baby, they're back to being baby face. Because you know that's what's going to happen with Sammy. This is what all this stuff with Jericho's leading to. And
yeah.
And it's so weird or ironic and stuff. But most importantly, congratulations, man.
Congratulations. Another girl dad, dude. I'm looking at the photos. And it looks like they did a big-ass gender reveal. Like, it was a very big ordeal. So, it's pretty cool.
Did you expect anything less? I mean, have you seen some of these? Speaking of gender reveals, you ever see these ones? And I've seen a couple of these, and I wish I had known about this back when my wife and I were waiting the news of what our baby was going to be. You ever see the these happen in independent wrestling shows where they actually do a wrestling match that leads to a gender reveal? That's so fucking cool, man. That kind of stuff. Dude,
I've seen a couple of different kind. I've seen a lady and a guy go at it. And the winner told you like what gender gender one is who it is. Mm-hmm. I've seen one that they broke a table, and when they broke the table, the bottom of the table was either pink or blue.
Oh wow!
I saw another one where they hit somebody with the fire extinguisher, but the extinguisher was pink or blue.
Oh, that's cool.
So it was a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just with. Like I. And this might be the old, old guy in me or whatever. We'll just say my inner silver wolf. But love you, Sean. But I never quite understood like where this stuff all came from. Because back in the day, when you were having a boy or a girl, you just said it's a boy, it's a girl. Like it bothered my mind like how. Like now people have parties for this and all that, and just the elaborate schemes that they go to do. And I mean, I think it's great. It's just, I've always wondered like, where did this start?
Right. And no, I mean, my thing is like, I remember the only reason you would tell back in the day, at least, is just for like the baby shower. So you knew what to get. Are you going to get the boy onesie, the girl?
Right. Onesie. You're right. Right.
And now it's like a whole fucking thing before the fucking baby showers.
Right. You know, because I remember that was, and I remember when we were like, my wife and I were talking about like, well, do we want to know what we were having? And I'm thinking logically, I'm like, I do, because I don't want to get like a whole bunch of, like clothing and stuff that like, we can't use.
Yeah.
And stuff, you know, I mean, like I said, I mean, the turnout we had for our baby shower was just incredible, and the stuff we got and everything. But man, though, it's cool, but it's just so cool to see that stuff. And again, I mean, congrats to Sammy and Tay, you know, I mean, I just, you know, hope that everything goes well with the rest of the pregnancy, you know, and the baby's born happy and you know, happy and healthy.
Very true, man. Wise words right there. Prayers for them. Hopefully everything finishes out well for them. I know we have a few more wrestle babies to see what they're going to be soon. So possibly next generation of wrestlers being born within the next year or so.
It could be. I mean, we've got, let's see, we've recently, I mean, you've got Cody Rhodes, you know, and Brandy with their little girl. So she could be, that could be a third generation.
Yeah.
You got Rollins and Becky Lynch with their baby girl who could be a second gen.
Yeah.
You know, you got this baby here, Sammy and Tay, that could be second gen. I mean, it's just...
Alexa Bliss is currently pregnant.
Yes, that's another one.
Who else?
I'm trying to think who, because I feel like there's somebody else that just recently announced.
Yeah, I feel like I'm missing one.
Hold on, I'm going to see if I can.
See if you can find it. I'm going to try to think. Which women's title just had to give up? But it's not Britt Baker. It's not that one. It's not them. It's not Asuka. It's not. No, it's not that one either.
Let's see. Carmella.
Carmella. Mella's money. And Lacey Evans just gave birth not too long ago, too.
And the beautiful thing about Carmella is if you heard her story, like it's a miracle because, I mean, she just went through, I believe it was what they call a ectopic pregnancy or something like that.
Yeah.
And then all that's just, you know, her and Corey Graves have had a rough go. And so it's nice to see.
Oh, shit. Peyton Royce.
Oh, yeah. Just recently gave birth. Sean Spears.
And then Billy Kay. Just now she's pregnant. Her tag team partner.
Really?
Yeah. From the Inspiration. Inspiration.
Wow. It's beautiful though, and it's beautiful that these women getting pregnant and having these babies and stuff. It's like it's not a career ender for them, you know.
Mm-mm. It's a circle of life, man.
Yeah,
and it moves us
all.
Yes,
great movie by the way. The original, the animated Lion King.
Oh yeah, love it. One of my all time.
Live action Lion King, not as much.
No, dude, not as much. I'm having issues.
Oh boy. So, all right. So, you know what? We're halfway through the year so far, and I was like kind of thinking, we hit July or halfway through the year, which hard to believe we're already halfway, a little bit more than halfway through 2023 and stuff. But since we still got a little bit of time to kill here, let's talk about some of our favorites so far from the year. I'm going to ask you this. So far, like I said, July 7th, this episode will be up tomorrow morning, Saturday, July 8th. We've seen a lot of really good matches so far this year. And if you had to pick a match of the year so far, what would you go with?
Oh, Jesus, that's a hard one. Match of the year. Let me think. You know what? I'm going to tell you where it's going to come from for me.
Okay.
While I start to narrow it down.
Okay.
I don't think it's coming from the WWE right now.
Okay.
On that, I don't think it's going to come from AEW right now.
Ooh.
Yes. Let's see. I am going to go. Well, you know what? Yes. I'm going to go there. That's where I'm going to go. I'm going to go NJPW.
Okay.
I am going to take, and if you guys don't know, I do keep a list of my contenders, so I'm going through my list to see if anybody can beat it. But I am going to go with Omega Osprey, Wrestle Kingdom right now.
Wow, okay.
Still reigns to me as potential match of the year. This is after watching the Forbidden Door match again. This is after watching the New Japan match again. I think the New Japan one barely etches it out.
I'm with you on that in terms of which was the better match between those two. And actually that is one that I really spent a lot of time thinking about when thinking about this. But actually my match of the year so far is actually coming from AEW.
Ooh.
I'm going to go with we're going to go to Revolution 2023, and I'm going to go with that 60-plus minute Iron Man match between Bryan Danielson and MJF. Like, to me,
that's a good one.
To me, I'm going to put this up there that this is definitely top three in all the Iron Man matches I've ever seen. Like, I thought it was really, I thought it had an amazing story. This was really a big moment for MJF to prove that he could hang with Danielson for 60 minutes, which he did.
He looked ripped in that match, man. That was this turn of MJF looking like he does right now. Just freaking cut to the gills.
Right. And it goes to show, like, when he wants to go out there and wrestle, he can go out there and put on a show.
Yeah, he's not going to be a spot monkey, but he's technical when he wants to be.
Right. And I mean, obviously, and of course, Danielson, you know, made him look like $1 million and also looked like $1 million. And it was one of those things, you know, MJF won, but that didn't hurt Danielson one bit. And in fact, I think, you know, I mean, well wishes to Bryan Danielson, you know, as this, you know, speedy recovery with the broken arm.
Freaking trooper broke his arm and still went 10 minutes to finish the match.
But I mean, this honestly, that was the last match he had before he did the heel turn with the Blackpool Combat Club. And honestly, I think this is this run that Danielson's on right now with this heel run, obviously before the broken arm, probably his best run since probably he won the WWE title back in 2018, I think it was, when he was the environmental savior heel, you know, when he had the wooden title or whatever and stuff.
The hemp.
The hemp belt. But I just thought this is the beginning of an amazing run for Danielson. And again, hopefully he gets back soon.
Oh man, I like that a lot. I you know what? I like this heel turn a lot more than I did the environmental heel turn. Mm-hmm. The environmental heel turn to me was just like save the planet bullshit. But this one is.
This was definitely more of like the badass heel turn, like that I think a lot of us know that Danielson's capable of doing. But going back to the heel turn, you know, the environmental savior guy, I still enjoyed the hell out of that run.
I don't know. Maybe I knew too many vegans. They all just sounded the same at that point.
Oh, man. All right, so we got a couple more here. Tag team of the year so far.
Tag team of the year. This is going to surprise you. They're not in AEW. Which, 4FTR is just work rate right now, baby. You haven't done nothing. Yeah. They're not in the WWE or NXT. My tag team of the year comes from Impact Wrestling.
Oh, if it's who I think it is, if this is who I think it is, excellent pick.
Ace Austin, Chris Bay. They're ruling Impact tag team right now.
Yeah, they are.
So that's my year, my tag team of the year.
What do they call them? ABC, I believe.
ABC. Yeah.
So last year, I remember when we did this, you guys, I think, were all FTR and I was the Usos. And I mean, that was really what the tag team division was all about last year, is those two teams. Yeah. God, if this team, you know what, even though right now they don't have, excuse me a second, I gotta take a drink, got a little tickle in my throat.
Get it.
For me, I'm going to go with a team that right now has one of its members on the shelf.
Oh.
And stuff. But I mean, before he got hurt, this tag team was really making waves. And much like you, it's not a WWE tag team. At the time, I can't really say that they're not an AEW tag team because they are under contract to AEW right now. But I'm going with they're not Impact, you know, they're not MLW. But for the longest time, and I guess you can kind of technically say what this partnership they were and are New Japan. But right up until this guy got hurt. These guys actually were not only the New Japan, the IWGP Tag Team Champions, but they were also the New Japan Strong Tag Team Champions. I'm going with Aussie Open.
They were on such a tear, man. That injury really hurt them.
Yeah, and it's great to see, you know, and I'm hoping that when Mark Davis gets back, that, you know, he and Kyle Fletcher pick up right where they left off. Fletcher's been looking good in solo action and stuff.
Yeah.
But
he's been holding it down.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just up until Davis got hurt, man, those guys were killing it in New Japan and stuff. So my tag team of the year so far is Aussie Open.
I like it.
And then so one of these ones that I always, this next one that I like is always one that's kind of like someone that's kind of come out of nowhere to like get, you know, really just get in your face and be like, I have arrived. And that's breakout star of the year. So who do you got for your breakout star of the year so far?
I'm going to say this and it's going to hurt me like a kick in the nuts. Jesus. Not that this person wasn't already on the radar. Not that this person hasn't already been great. But this year specifically, this person took it to a whole nother level and let you know that no matter what your feelings are about his style, he's freaking aces. And that's OC, Orange Cassidy.
He's, you know what? A little bit of a spoiler. You're going to hear a little bit more about him in a little bit. But that, well, so what is it about, what led you come to this? Because you know how big of an OC fan and how much I've been singing his, you know, his praises and stuff on this show, much to the chagrin of you and everybody, you know, those other two guys that aren't here.
Yeah. It's just what he's done with this All Atlantic title. He's defending it consistently. He's having great matches. They're OC matches, right? But some matches are really good matches.
Yeah.
And I mean, God, the guy has wins over Shibata, Daniel Garcia,
Zack Sabre Jr. Zach and Sabre Jr. Which that was probably a sleeper match for Forbidden Door.
Yes.
He's had stuff with Jay Lethal, Jeff Jarrett.
He's taken down a who's who of who's trying to go against that belt. And it's not for any means looked easy, because some of the last couple of matches, he's starting to look like he's wearing.
Swerve.
Swerve. Oh, that was a good match. Jesus, yeah. The Swerve match was awesome. But, man, I think his title reign might be coming up soon, which is needed. He probably needs some time to recoup because he's been going at it really hard. But that's what did it for me. This guy is either opening the show or midding the show every week almost. So the work rate, the matches, the quality, I can't say it enough. He's honestly put himself up there.
Yeah. So for me, this was one of the easier decisions. When I was thinking about these categories and who my picks would be, this one was honestly probably the easiest out of all of them and stuff. Cause I'm going to go with the guy that we really weren't giving a lot of love to as much as, you know, late last year. And it's just because he kind of felt like he was, or I should say about this time about a year ago, just because he just felt like he was going through the motions and we weren't seeing progression out of him. But man, since Clash at the Castle last year, that and basically up to this point, how can you not go with someone like Dominic Mysterio as a breakout star of the year? Because when you think about it, not only did he have a really good match against his father at WrestleMania, had an epic entrance, you want to talk about evolution of a character and just getting over. That's him. I mean, he is so over and generates so much heat that, like, the crowd won't even let him speak. Like, I can't
cut his promos.
He can't. I think the only person right now in professional wrestling that is getting more heat than Dominic Mysterio, if that's the case, either as much or slightly a little bit more, is Don Callis.
Yeah.
But I mean, to me, it's just Dominic Mysterio, because honestly, you think about where he was this time, you know, a year ago. You know, he was doing the stuff with his dad, but he was just kind of
meh. He wasn't full on prison Dom yet.
No, and he wasn't, you know, dirty Dom or Dom Dom, as, you know, mommy likes to call him and stuff. Yeah. But man, I mean, now he's gone. He does the stuff where he, you know, he invaded, you know, he, you know, Thanksgiving and beat up Bray at his house on Thanksgiving. He tried doing it again at Christmas time and got arrested. And that's where Prison Dom came into. He had them. And I mean, it's just, it is just he, and he's gotten better in the ring.
He has. His matches have gotten better. It's not just the character. His matches have gotten better.
But man, like for me though, it's Dominic Mysterio is like right now is the definition of a breakout star for me. So
we were talking about him maybe needing to go to NXT last year.
Yeah.
Because he was floundering, and now no, he's a mainstay.
Yeah, who's more hated in the WWE right now than Dominic Mysterio?
Yeah.
And that's so all right, so next one up, we got a couple more left because we can start winding down in that. Female wrestler of the year so far.
Oh, you know what? Female wrestler of the year. It's got to be Rhea.
I'm going to go with you on that too. I mean, the only other person right now that I could say like that I would maybe give a second place vote for and that is Toni Storm, because she's gotten better. She's really stepped up her game, you know, and
she's looking like the Toni Storm of WWE time.
Yeah. And I mean, we could also talk about Jamie Hayter, you know, and stuff. And unfortunately Mercedes Moné would be in the conversation if she didn't, you know, there's really, to me, it's Rhea and there's nobody else that's even in the ballpark.
Yeah, she's the top tier.
Yeah, and it's great to see that she's finally getting that chance to show everybody what she can do, and she's hitting it out of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so. I mean, you think about the match she had with Charlotte at WrestleMania. You know, arguably the best match of both nights and that and stuff. And it could have, in some people's minds, it should have main evented night one.
Yeah, but that felt like the main event of night one.
Like I said, if it wasn't for the fact with the story with Sami and KO versus the Usos, there's no doubt in my mind that match would have main evented night one.
Right.
And stuff. So, but I mean, look at what she's done. I mean, look at the match she just had against Natty on Raw this past Monday.
Natty's so underappreciated.
Absolutely.
And she goes out with Rhea and puts on that kind of match, and people are like, wow, Natty could go. I'm like, Natty's been going. It's just she hasn't had anybody to play with.
Yeah.
She looks good with Rhea.
Yeah, she does and stuff. But yeah, I think we just mentioned this like fairly recently on a past show. It's Rhea. She's like head and shoulders above everybody else in the women's division in the WWE, either Raw, SmackDown, or even NXT.
She's the top.
She is. All right. Last but not least, male wrestler of the year so far. Who you got?
Oh, that's a hard one. I want to take somebody who I feel is just doing it all right now. You know what? Yeah, because you're doing it between two promotions. You're doing it everywhere you go. I'm taking Will Ospreay.
Oh, God, that's a really good one. And I alluded to this a little while ago when you talked about your breakout star of the year. But for me, I got to go with Orange Cassidy. Because, I mean, for the reasons why you picked him for breakout star of the year, I go with that, like, back when we did our year-end awards last year, I went with Moxley because he basically put the company on his back through arguably its darkest time so far, and he was still putting out match after match and everything.
The bangers.
Yeah, and I feel like that's what Orange Cassidy has done all this year. It's been, to take a line from Sheamus, it's been banger after banger after banger after banger. I mean,
I told somebody the other day, I said, I feel like the freaking All-Atlantic title has more prestige than just about every other title in AEW right now, just because of how he's defended it.
You know what? Now that you bring it up, I'm not going to disagree with you on that. Just because of, and that's not a knock on MJF or or Luchasaurus, who's the TNT title holder right now. But I mean, yeah, it's honestly the way. Yeah, it seems like they all the international title is the most prestigious title in AEW, and like you said, it's just the way he's been defending it. You know, and I think what he's doing with the international title is, I think, is what, and this isn't trying to say that WWE is trying to copy AEW, because I'm not saying that at all, but it's what WWE, I think, is trying to establish with the world heavyweight title, Seth Rollins. They're trying to make that like the workman's title, the Iron Man title. And
right.
I just feel like Orange Cassidy has not had a bad match this year, and he's looked strong. And like I said, I keep telling people, don't sleep on OC anymore, because
he went from the guy, and this speaks to what I'm saying. He went from the guy that everybody thought was a joke because he has his hands in his pants. He's doing these baby kicks that are barely even touching anybody, and everybody's reacting like he's killing them.
Yeah.
But then he turns it up, and he fucking goes.
And he can go, and he does those kip ups and those moves and stuff with his hands in his pocket. The whole slot style thing,
yeah,
and stuff. And like you said, he's kicking off Dynamite every week, you know, or he's like he kind of that in the middle of the road show. But man, when he comes out, man, people pop, and he's got a fan base. I mean, almost you can watch turn on an AEW show. And almost you guaranteed to see at least one kid dressed up like Orange Cassidy.
That's how they used to judge it back in the day, is who are the kids dressing up? The kids had the Sting face paint or all that. It's the OC glasses and jacket now. The kids are there.
And if it's not OC, it's Darby Allin.
Or it's Darby, yeah.
Yeah. So, but man, we just hit the hour mark and stuff. And this has we did it, man. We were Iron Men. We went the hour.
What's your final thought?
All right, so I got to give a minute here to just send my first off, before I want to do the good before I do the bad.
All right.
Silver Wolf did this on our Facebook group recently and stuff, but I'm going to give a quick shout out to my boy, your biggest fan, and one of our biggest supporters of the show, Jimmy, who just recently turned 50. So happy birthday, Jimmy. Happy birthday to me.
I posted the photo of me and Jimmy because I knew you guys would love it.
Yeah, and that was so cool. Like I'll never forget he was so excited to see you and stuff, and it was just so cool to see that and stuff. I mean, your ego blew up a couple, you know, so much in that, but
I tried not to let it happen, but it was a cool moment.
It is cool, man, and like I said and stuff. So but I just wanna just also send along condolences to the Decker family. The Decker family, so the family that I've known for a number of years. I worked with literally half the family at my very first job when I used to work at Toys R Us and stuff. And they just recently had announced that their youngest son had passed away and that. So I just wanted to just once again talk about just how precious life is and stuff. And it's just, you know, to the Deckers, you know, our thoughts and prayers are with you and you guys and stuff as you know, have to do the unthinkable and that. And it's just, I can't stress enough just how precious life is. And just, I ask every one of you to just make the most of the time you have on this planet, because you never know when it's going to end.
That's true.
So your final thought. Hot one.
My final thought's going to be quick because I have to go to the bathroom. So it's going to be three words: live, love, pro wrestling. Did you freeze on?
Good night, everyone.
Sorry, bro. Legends of the Ring, Sting, man. It's a great figure. Old school figure. Looks great. It's Sting! Old school Sting from WCW. Guys, you know us. Three-fourths of the Shooting Shit team.
and we're here with a listener just like you guys. This is Jimmy from Super Powers Comics.
My friend of almost 20 years. Yeah. He's known him since you were 12.
If you know people in Chicago, you probably know Dennis because he knows half the town.
Of course.
But Shooters, if you need action figures, comics, wrestling memorabilia, we just showed you Sting. Super Powers Comics. We'll put up their QR codes so you can get a good look at everything they have coming. Give it a shot, Shooters. Get your superpowers on and get your comments from our friend Jimmy, who listens just like you.
Attention, wrestling fans and fans of Shooting Shit Podcasts. You can now be one of the cool kids by going to ProWrestlingTees.com and buy the official Shootin' Shit t-shirt. Buy it now and be there at ringside.
Be sure to check us out on YouTube at www.youtube.com/@SHOOTINGSHT. Find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/groups/SHOOTINSHT. Check us out on TikTok at SHOOTINSHIT. And you can buy your official Shootin' Shit shirt at www.prowrestlingtees.com/SHOOTINSHT. And thanks for watching.